So we're going to start the second half of this morning session, which is going to focus on Senate Bill 2038, which I know a lot of us have a lot of interest in. First up is a panel that will be led by Micah King. He is a former assistant city attorney for the city of Austin and is now a shareholder at Winstead, focusing on land use, real estate, and construction law and guiding his clients through the land entitlement process. Also on the panel itself is Brad Bullock. Brad is a partner with Messer Fort, where he defends local governments and their officials. He served as a city attorney for numerous cities and is a frequent author and presenter on land use. And last but not least is Julie Jo. She's an attorney in Travis County's Transaction and Land Use Division, advising clients on a variety of topic areas, including public improvement districts, land use, and affordable housing. I'll turn it over to the panel.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, everybody, for being here, and Brad for Julie for agreeing to be on the panel. Is that a little bit too close? No. Okay, so as you just heard, we'll be covering SB 2038, and I'll actually be covered in this panel and in the one immediately following it after a short break, I think. And that will be more of a deeper dive into planning and utilities issues. And this session will take advantage of Brad being the plaintiff's attorney for Grand Prairie and the appeal of and the challenge to that law. And Julie Jo, who's a assistant county attorney who has been tracking this since before it was law and has a unique county perspective on this. So I guess we'll just jump right into it. So Brad, to briefly frame the discussion, you know, I think we all know that 2038 marks a significant shift towards, from a developer side, empowering property owners and curbing cities' overreach and bureaucratic hurdles to development, and being involuntarily brought into the ETJ of a city without full representation. We can get into legal nuances first, but could you talk about, I was going to ask you why you hate developers, but I won't ask that, but.
I'd be happy to talk about that. I'm kidding. We love each other.
We were going to have a developer on the panel, but we didn't want it to get too rowdy. So Brad, could you just lay out, broadly what the bill does, how it works, and the ETJ removal process?
Certainly. First of all, it's a pleasure to be here, and we're going to thumb wrestle later to figure out what to do about 2038 on the developer versus municipal side. So 2038, from our perspective, allows individuals to opt out of a city's ETJ, especially, I think notably, with no notice to nearby property owners and no oversight by the governmental entity that they are removing themselves from. So, you know, from our perspective, the concern is that this constitutes a delegation of legislative decision-making, because Texas courts have said that the decision to include something in an ETJ is a legislative decision, and so therefore the decision to exclude from an ETJ must also necessarily be a legislative decision. And so, you know, one of the bases of the lawsuit is to challenge that on a variety of grounds. Now, 2038, from my perspective, is has some, far-reaching consequences. And one of those is the method under which it allows property owners to opt out. And that is, it's not just the property owner who files the petition who can opt out, but it also has a mechanism by which that petitioner can include adjacent or adjoining other property owners as part of that ETJ opt-out, so long as the person or property owner filing the petition is either in the majority of the property owners or the majority in value. And that's a new concept that the legislature injected into 2038. And so basically, if you own 50.1% of the value of an area you want to remove from the ETJ, then the 49%, you can scoop up 49% of the land around you, or the value, right? And that whole parcel can be removed from the ETJ.